something else.
The Bob, your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
Well, let's see. Good news, bad news? Good news is not nearly as cold as it was 24 hours ago. Remember that? 1 degree at this point yesterday, depending on where you were. About 27 degrees this morning, so I'll take that, along with some other things, all right? Let's get things started. It's Let's Talk here for a Wednesday morning. Scott Giese with you again. Well, I know where he is. The Ironhead Jeff Byers not with us today. He'll be back tomorrow. He had a passing in his family, and extended family, I guess you would say. And so he and his family are a little busy today, which is understandable. So our condolences to all of those folks. Jeff will be back with us tomorrow. I think he'll be here on Friday. At some point Friday, he's supposed to get on an airplane for a Penn State wrestling match way out at Wyoming. Now, our weather might be fine. What's the weather like in Wyoming? Actually, I did check on a whim yesterday. I checked. I'm thinking, okay, is it possible they may have to get out of town, the wrestling team, get out of town early to get to Wyoming to, I don't know, beat some weather or something like that. It's actually, from what I saw, it's a whole lot warmer in Wyoming right now than it is here. I don't know. When I think Wyoming, I think Rocky Mountains and rural and out west, and oh, it must be really cold there. Not this week. It's actually a bit warmer, a bit windy, but a bit warmer. So he should be back tomorrow and Friday. And yes, that's 3 days of the last four. And yes, his friend Scott is counting. Okay. Anyway. So, folks, we got a busy show today. We have an open line show for most of the show. Lots of things to talk about. Of course, more on the Penn State football coach. All right. We can do that. Definitely, finally, going to talk about health care. I've been sitting on this for like 2 weeks because we've had other things to talk about, like football coaches and stuff like that. Definitely, I'm going to share some information, see what you think. We're going to solve some of the country's problems again today because that's just what we do. And we got some open line time. Also, yes, if you're looking out a window this morning, you're like, okay, where's the snow? No. Surprise. Okay. In most spots, we got nothing. Or at least so far, we got nothing. I know what the weather forecast said over the last couple of days, but for our neighborhood at least. Now, everything's on time today. Obviously, no problems, no issues. If you go west of us, and probably north of us, they're getting something. I know there are school delays this morning. If you go over to Jefferson County, Elk County, Cameron County, and I'm thinking more as you go toward Erie, those folks have been getting something like overnight and so on. So they've got some school delays and stuff over in that direction. It just really, depending on where you're listening here, it really hasn't made its way here. Now it's supposed to. Maybe the one concern, watch out for breeziness today. And if we start to get some snow flurries and you put that together with breeziness, snow squalls. Now, not everywhere, but maybe like here or there. So if you're traveling, driving today, watch out for that a little bit. May not amount to much. It may just be sort of a quick snow burst and so on, but we'll see. And we're going to talk weather with our friend Joe Bastardi of WeatherBell.com. He'll join us later next hour. Joe normally is with us on Mondays. He was indisposed on Monday, so he's going to join us today to kind of give us a weather update. I want to ask him, okay, we're 2 weeks to Christmas now. If you will, 3 weeks to New Year's now. What about the next 2 to 3 weeks? If you're a regular listener, you've heard Joe before. Joe mentioned weeks ago, hey, watch that period between Thanksgiving and Christmas, or maybe Thanksgiving and New Year's. Could be interesting. Well, we haven't had a lot of snow, obviously, but it was 1 degree yesterday. Ooh. oh, man, I said, ooh, that was cold. The night before, I left my car outside at my house. And so yesterday morning, I get in my car, and it's 1 degree, and I'm thinking, okay, that probably wasn't very smart. And I go to turn the car over. This is yesterday. I go to turn the car over. Did this happen to anybody else? Turn the key. Vroom, 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 vroom. I'm like, oh, phew. I don't want to have to drive my wife's car. I don't want to do that. Ugh, that was crazy yesterday. This morning, print right up. Thank you very much. So watch your weather. Again, maybe from this morning into this afternoon, wind, maybe a snow squall, maybe kind of here and there. And as we say, let's be careful out there. All right, I've got some open line time now. If you'd like to chime in on something, 814-954-7266, 814-954-7266. All right, if you're a Penn Stater, you know this, all right? Last week of classes for Penn State's fall semester this week, and then the dreaded finals week next week. It's interesting how different schools have different calendars, all right? Our FM signal gets up to Lock Haven just fine. Hello to our Clinton County friends. Lock Haven University this week is finals week, and then they wrap it up. So their fall commencement would be, I guess, this Saturday. Penn State's fall commencement is next week. I don't know, it's just kind of interesting how the school schedules oftentimes don't match up. So Lock Haven is, I mean, there are some Lock Haven kids probably at this point, depending on their final schedule, they're done. All right, they're, I don't know, headed for home and stuff like that. Well, okay. Penn State, still got classes, finals next week. Then the town empties out. So it's safe to come back to downtown State College again after next week. All right, you have been advised. Speaking of Penn State, all right, a couple of things. If you follow news, you saw this story yesterday. The Penn State Faculty Alliance filed a petition yesterday. They want a union. They've been after this for months, and probably more like years. And finally, the item that sort of pushed them over the edge, if you will, was the closing of some Commonwealth campuses that was announced back in, May or June. That kind of pushed faculty members like, okay, we need to do something here. I guess my only thought on this, again, is what took so long? I guess I'm wondering why this hasn't happened before. There's a whole bunch of stories out there, statecollege.com, Center Daily Times, I think Penn Live, a number of stories out there about this. If you look at Pennsylvania's four state-related schools, now that's Penn State, Pitt, Temple, and Lincoln. Temple and Lincoln have had faculty unions for many years. Now, maybe it's because Temple, of course, is in Philadelphia. Lincoln essentially is in Philadelphia. I mean, pretty darn close. Maybe that is a big reason why they've had faculty unions for a very long time. Pitt has had a faculty union, I believe, for the last either 3 or 4 years now. So it's still relatively new to them. And then there's Penn State. You know, like, okay, what took so long? Apparently, there are around, if you count all the campuses, there are around 6,000 Penn State faculty members. That's a lot of people. And now they're like, yes, we want to go union. And when, you know, they filed a petition for an election yesterday. So you got to go through that whole dance and so on. If they actually get to an election, folks, this one's not even going to be close. Put it this way, if you follow, you know, earlier this fall, grad student employees for Penn State voted to unionize, and it wasn't close. I mean, it was like, we're doing this, boom. So now here come the actual full faculty members, like, we want to do this. We're finally going to do this, I assume, sometime in 2026. And so, again, this is going to be as close to a slam dunk as you're ever going to get. So now, depending on how you look at this, all right, this is a really good thing for those faculty members, they say. And again, check out some of these stories. They want more say in the governance of Penn State. They don't like the way this has been happening or that's been happening. So, okay, if you're a faculty member, you might be thinking, all right, this all sounds like a good thing. Old Main, just, how do we put this? The problems just keep piling up. All right, there was the whole deficit situation, which, by the way, is apparently by the boards now, but that's the reason Commonwealth campuses were cut in the first place, or are going to be cut in the first place. And then, I mean, they did not, as far as I know, they didn't have any direct involvement in the Penn State football coaching thing. Although probably on the periphery, they're like, Pat Kraft, you want to wrap this up? We're not looking too good here right now. You want to wrap this up, please? I'm sure somehow very quietly through channels, it's like, could you please get this done? And so finally, last week, poof. And that was probably coming from Old Main, like, okay. Then, boom, we get this faculty union announcement. Whew. It is tough right now to be a Penn State administrator. It's a tough stretch right now, isn't it? They've got all kinds of issues. The enrollment cliff, which means that the number of prospective high school kids going to college is starting to ever so slowly go down, which means that just going to college is becoming, from the college angle, it's going to become a lot more competitive. Different schools, vying for students and so on. It's going to be a lot more competitive. And even if you're a so-called big shot like Penn State, with all the things that Penn State can offer, it's still, it's going to be more difficult to attract new students. And so there's a headache for Old Main, and faculty unions are a headache, and football coaches, no offense, are a headache, and pricing and costs, not a fun time to be a college administrator right now. Just not a fun time. How about we do fun times? Here's something maybe to mark down. If you didn't notice this, this is coming up on Saturday at the Penn State Arboretum. It looks like they're going to do some really cool stuff. This is Saturday evening from 4 until 8 p.m. They have an event they're calling Winter's Glow. And if you've been to the Arboretum, even now, with trees and stuff and so on, it is beautiful, right off of Park Avenue. And so they've got all kinds of, I guess, really cool winter light displays. They're going to have, I guess, some free stuff. If you go, they'll have some stuff that you can buy and pay for and so on. And the Palmer Museum of Art, of course, is also now out there, somewhat recently. It sounds like a really fun event. My goodness, free parking? Where's my bell? Penn State and free parking. Really? Well, if you know where the Katz lot is, K-A-T-Z, the Katz lot will have free public parking for this event. It just sounds like a lot of fun. I've seen some pictures. I've seen a write-up. So if you've got nothing to do or you just want to go check it out on Saturday evening, and it starts at 4, I think, the fun starts at 4, but, I mean, the light shows and so on will get really effective, obviously, once the sun goes down, all the way up till 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. So if you're looking for something to do, that sounds pretty fun. All right, definitely check that out. All right, how about some other news and notes? All right, watch out here. It's holiday time of year, so we all go out and we buy snacks and all sorts of things. Saw this announcement yesterday, not trying to pick on Wegmans, but unfortunately they're in this recall right now for unsalted deluxe mixed nuts. All right, they have a problem with a potential salmonella contamination. Uh-oh, that's according to the FBA. So if you bought mixed nuts recently at Wegmans, you better check this out. It's the Wegmans unsalted deluxe mixed nuts, two sizes, 11.5 ounce and 34 ounce sizes, sold here between November 3rd and December 1st. So if you have that in your house, that's under a recall. Now, according to one story, I guess there haven't been any reports of people getting sick at least not yet, but they did some kind of a testing and found, I think it was something with pistachios, had some type of a salmonella contamination. So you don't want to fool with that. You need to sort of take that back for a refund, and definitely don't eat them. All right? So, again, Wegmans Unsalted Deluxe Mixed Nuts, sold between November 3 and December 1. Don't mess with those. Take those back to the store for a refund. This is something interesting to check out. All right, good journalism. Yes, there's a lot of good journalism out there. Our friends from Spotlight PA, we've had their folks on the show. They're doing great work all over the state. Good stuff. And apparently they're now getting into the film business, so to speak. All right. Now, if you recall, back in August, on our show here, we had reporter Angela Columbus. And she's done a series of stories this year about the state system that is supposed to protect and help older adults from abuse and neglect. And Angela's stories have been why that's not been happening, that there have been some, in some cases, rather egregious moves from this particular state system. And so she's written a bunch of stories on this. Well, they've now turned that into a short film. All right, for people that like to, maybe you don't like to read, but you'll watch movies or short films, videos, all right? This is a 17-minute movie, and I checked this out, and I'm like, okay, it's pretty much, it's Angela's reporting, but also with clips from Angela and several other people that were involved with the reporting. If you're more into watching than you are into reading, and you have someone who is elderly, and they're in maybe a nursing home or a care facility and so on. We're certainly not impugning all facilities, all right? No. But there have been enough incidents around the state that caused this reporting to happen. And if you're in that situation, this is something you ought to check out, all right? So you can read the stuff, or now you can watch the stuff. So you can go to their website, spotlightpa.org. Probably it's near the top of the page, the link to watch this 17-minute video. Check it out. And again, if you're in that situation, this is something you really need to check out. Like, okay, let's make sure this doesn't happen to my loved one or something like that. Not good stuff. Also, let's go south of, well, not south of the border. Let's go down under to Australia. Let's watch out and see what happens with this one. Have you followed this story? Starting today, they, for the entire country of Australia, or the entire continent of Australia, it's the same thing, they have a nationwide ban on social media use for anybody under the age of 16. No excuses. Total social media ban for any kid under the age of 16. Now, this has been rumored for a while. Are they actually going to pull this off? Well, apparently starting today, they've done it. And so they've sent the word out to social media companies. All right, here in Australia, I can't do an Australian accent. This is about a million kids, a million accounts that have to be shut down by all these different social media outlets. That's a lot of people. And apparently they have to have some kind of a setup where if you go to log into a social media outlet, you know who they are, Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever, there has to be a way that you can confirm that you are 16 and over. Now, right there is a little, okay, let's see if that works. I'm not so sure. They have to do age verification, and if they don't do it, and Australia catches them at it, then they face fines. This one here says a fine of up to $32 million. Woo, look out. So, how do you do this? According to this one story, you can show official documents. Okay, I'm not sure how you're going to do that. Live video selfies. So, in other words, you're going to log into a social media site and turn on your camera, a kid, and do a live video selfie and somehow they'll determine if you're under the age of 16. All right, does that sound a little shady to you? I'm not so sure about that one. Today's the first day. Now, Australia, of course, if you know your globe, is on the other side of the world. And so their timing is, like, totally different than ours. So they would be ahead of us as far as time is concerned. So it's 8:19 in the morning here. Over there, I don't know, it's 8:19 at night or something like that. And apparently they're already getting some stories on day one of kids finding ways to get around this. Have you ever noticed this? It's kind of interesting as a semi-old guy. Kids just have, or when it comes to tech and so on, they're smart. They know the ins and outs. They could use a VPN, a virtual private network, to try to get around this. Or, I don't know, maybe they do their live video selfie and it looks like a 50-year-old man, but it's actually a 15-year-old kid. I don't know. But kids are really smart on this stuff. So kids are going to find a way to get around this gig. Watch out for that. Most Australians, according to polls, are totally for this. It says here 77% are banning. Now, not everybody. A pair of 15-year-olds already apparently trying to go to court challenging the legality of this move. There are some other folks. I've got one story here. Critics have pointed out social media provides a vital connection for rural teens and kids in marginalized groups. Okay. Why don't you just go outside and play with your friends? Come on. Once upon a time, folks, right? That's what we did. We went outside and played with our friends. Don't need a gadget in my hand to do it. Unless it's a baseball bat or something, or a basketball or some such thing. We're going to see where this goes, because, I mean, we're looking at it. The U.S. is looking at it. Countries in Europe are looking at it. Countries in some other places are looking at it. So they're all going to be watching Australia to see how this works. And if it works pretty well, boom, 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 it's going to happen a whole bunch of other places. All right. Maybe we're going to have to take a break here in a moment. Maybe with open line time later, you can chime in. Like, what do you think about this idea? Do you like it? Do you not like it? I've heard both arguments. Both arguments are good. All right. The evils of social media. But on the other side of the coin, if you just teach kids how to responsibly use social media, what its weaknesses are, what in some cases it's trying to do, if you teach kids this stuff, then hopefully they will become discerning. Because think about it, as soon as you turn 16 now you legally get to use it. Well, shouldn't we be training these youngsters before they get to the age of 16 on how to responsibly use this stuff? That's the other side of the coin. All right? You can lean whatever direction you want to lean on. Get rid of it, or now teach kids how to use it effectively. Phones are great. Yeah, sometimes they're a pain in the butt. But are they the evil item? You know, so many schools, of course, have banned phone usage now, like during the school day. Are they the evil item that painted out to be, or are we just not teaching these kids, here's what you really need to do with this, because that's what you're going to be doing later when you're an adult? Just a thought. We'll throw it out there. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have our sports segment. Ooh, not a great night for Penn State basketball last night. Yikes. So we'll have some results and so on. I told we're going to be having a guest joining us a little later this hour. And then later next hour, we'll have some open line time. And then we will be talking with Joe Bastardi of WeatherBall.com for a weather update. Where's the snow? It's coming. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Let's take a break. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports. You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
But not this morning. But not this morning. All right, all right. We're having fun here. Let's talk here for a Wednesday morning. Scott with you this morning. Again, our buddy, the Ironhead Jeff Byers. He'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, where's the snow? Again, if you follow the weather forecast like yesterday, the day before, and so on, it's like, okay, I woke up, here I am, where's the snow? It wasn't going to be that much anyway. It's probably coming, all right. Again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, is going to join us over an hour from now. All right, we'll ask him. Joe, where's the snow? West and north of us, that's where it is. Also, a little later on this hour, we're going to talk with State College Athletic Director Lauren Crispell. State College girls basketball in Altoona, always a rivalry there. And a special game, which we're going to talk with Lauren about with that coming up in just a little bit. And we'll have some open line time coming up also later on as well. All right, let's start with our sports update. Again, my pal, the Ironhead, always leads with Penn State. I like to lead with high school. So we're going to lead with high school. We're going to lead with wrestling. All right. Now, last night, a match you heard right here on Sports Radio, 98.7 The Fox. At home, Penns Valley, big night against their rival, Baldy Galeria. Went to the Rams, 49-18 last night. Blake Brumbaugh, Max Dingus, Seth Fedorov, Braden Lasowski all got falls for the Rams. Other winners included Caden Myers, Evan Lasowski, Connor Myers, Cale Smith, and Robert Martin. For the Eagles, Gage Gardner got a pin, while Tanner Ganot, Dawson Lomason, and Caden Judas got wins for the Eagles. Now, it's interesting. Okay, Penns Valley is 7-0. Apparently, for Bald Eagle, this was their first dual meet. I didn't realize that. All right, so Bald Eagle starts at 0-1. Also, another intra-county matchup last night over in Phillipsburg. Belfont beat the P.O. Mounties, 33-32 last night. Belfont got four falls from Andrew Gall, Ezra Swisher, Jackson Long, and Luke Hockenberry. Also, Belfont wins from Wyatt Long and Gavin Lucas. The Mounties got pins from Ace Foster and Connor Ganot. Also victories from Hayden Kopchak, Jacob Dugan, Devin Long, Caleb Hummel, and Colton Chapman. The Mounties actually won 7 of the 13 bouts. The Red Raiders won the meet, of course, because of bonus points. So for PO, that was also their first duel, so they're 0-1. Belfont is now 6-1 for their season. Still very early going here. Let's go to basketball, where the Baldy Galeria boys lost to Bellwood Annis last night, 37-28. James Cowan had 10 points to lead the Eagles. Bald Eagle now 0-3 to start their season. Bellwood also won the JV game there last night, 42-35. Nolan Butterworth had 12 points for Bald Eagle in that particular game. And in junior high action, again, it was Bellwood and Bald Eagle. Bellwood won the A game, 17-16. And they also won the B game, 29-14. The St. Joseph's boys basketball team got a big 35-33 win over Greenwood last night. And so the Wolfpack boys improved their record now to 2-1. All right, let's go to Penn State. Football team, of course, getting ready for the Pinstripe Bowl. Their matchup with Clemson, that's on December 27th at 12 noon. If you follow either news stories or social media, you know, there's a lot of people are moving. All right, they're moving in different directions. They're moving from Penn State to elsewhere, like Virginia Tech. They're moving from Iowa State to Penn State. Some other folks are doing some moving. Not just players, but of course also coaches. And so this is really a transition period. And you want to put together your group quickly, all right? You don't want to let this lag and so on. And so new head coach Matt Campbell is not wasting any time, including some folks from Iowa State who've decided, I want to follow Coach Campbell. Derek Hoodger is joining Penn State from Iowa State. He will be the general manager for the program, the GM. We've heard about this relatively new space or job for quite a while. Like, who's going to have this? So that the coach can concentrate a lot more on coaching, not more on the, you know, businessy type angles and so on. Defensive coordinator John Heacock is joining Campbell from Iowa State. I'm still waiting to hear something about Jim Knowles. He's still, last time I checked yesterday, I think, he's still listed on the Penn State list, but John Heacock is coming over. Now, Penn State coaches are on the move. Tight ends coach Ty Howell, no great surprise maybe, joining James Franklin at Virginia Tech. He's going to be the offensive coordinator for him. Now, that'll be, or for them, that's going to be a new position for him. If you're a Penn State fan, of course, you know, linebacker you for all these years. In recent years, it's been tight end you. All right? All the great tight ends that Penn State has developed. Well, Ty Howell did a lot of that, and he's leaving. He is going to go join Virginia Tech. Also, quarterbacks coach Danny O'Brien is going to be the new quarterbacks coach at Virginia Tech. Again, you got guys moving back and forth. You got those relationships. That's maybe more important than school. you know, the school relationship, the personal relationship. So, again, no great surprise on a lot of these moves. Defensive tackle Zane Durant announced this week. He is going to skip the Pinstripe Bowl. He's going to go pro. He's going to get ready for the NFL draft in April. Now, last time I checked, like last night, so far he's the only one. Now, it's maybe too soon to, you know, start to say, well, this guy, nope, because obviously there are a number of Penn State players that are going to be in the NFL draft come spring. The question is, how many of them are going to decide, maybe I don't want to play in this bowl game, maybe somehow get hurt or something. So far, it's just Durant. Durant has played in all 54 games of his Penn State career. I mean, he had a great career, 89 tackles, 22 tackles for a loss. Now, it was announced that Durant will be playing in the Senior Bowl, which is sort of a, call it a tryout game of sorts. Now, that won't be until January 31st in Mobile, Alabama. Let's see in the next, few days, some other Penn State players that may follow Durant. Like, nah, I'm not doing the pinstripe. I'm getting ready to go pro. All right? It's almost inevitable. I won't say it. It's almost inevitable that somebody is going to. If it's only one guy, I'd actually be shocked if it's only one person. But, you know, time will tell, as they say. Not a good night for Penn State basketball last night. Whew. Let's start with the men. The men at Indiana, and if you watched that game maybe on TV last night, yeah, that was an ugly game. Indiana winning 113-72. The Hoosiers shot 69% from the field. Yikes. 55% from three-point range. Whew. That's pretty good if you're not familiar with basketball. Wow. Nittany Lions led by Caden Mingo, who had 19 points. Freddie DeLeon had 14 points. Malik Tunka had 13 points, but that game was over at halftime. Penn State was trailing early 12-9, and then the wheels came off, and big time. Penn State was down, I believe, 32 points at halftime. It just, everything went wrong. And for Indiana, everything went right. Boom. Well, we said this stretch of games is going to be tough for these young Nittany Lions, and it was last night. Penn State now 8-2 on the season. They're now 0-1 in the Big Ten. It doesn't get any easier. Their home opener Saturday is with Michigan State. Oh, great. Frying pan into the fire. Okay. Tip-off on Saturday will be at noon. If somehow you can't make the game, it will be on the Big Ten Network. Also, men's action last night. Michigan, big win over Villanova, 89-61. Illinois defeated Ohio State, 88-80. Late last night, Southern Cal beat San Diego out west, 94-81. The Lady Line basketball team had a rough night at the Jordan Center last night. They lost to still undefeated Arizona State 74-60. Their Sun Devils are 11-0. Good team, good defensive team. Penn State falls to 6-3 on the season. Now, if you were at the Jordan Center, or maybe you watched it, this was on TV last night. Penn State had a 20-15 lead early, or 20-13 lead early in the second quarter, and then the wheels came off. From the second to the third quarter, Arizona State had a 27-2 run. And game over at that particular point. Penn State was able to kind of chip away at it in the fourth quarter to get the final margin at 14 points. Gracie Merkel led Penn State with 17 points. Kiyomi McMiller and Shayla Smith had 12 points apiece. Mariah Murray and Amia Evans led Penn State in rebounds with 6 each. Now, again, if you watch this either in person or on TV, both teams combined for 66 turnovers last night. Arizona State had 30. Penn State had 36. That's a lot of stuff. It's like, ouch. And unfortunately, during that 27-2 run, Penn State just turned the ball over time and time and time again. Just a really rough night. All right, frying pan into the fire. Lady Lions will visit Number three ranked South Carolina on Sunday afternoon. That'll be at 3:30. That's actually going to be on ESPN Sunday afternoon. So kind of mark that down, but ooh, let's see how that goes. Also in women's basketball last night, Nebraska, still unbeaten with a regional game. They hammered Omaha 87-35 last night. All right, Penn State wrestling team. Now, this is kind of interesting, all right? They are, once again, number one in the country in the Intermat rankings. It's funny, there's another alleged ranking out there that has Ohio State 1 and Penn State 2, just barely. And I've seen this now. This is where Mr. Ironhead needs to be here. I'm going to have to ask him about this tomorrow. I thought, really? I know Ohio State's got a good team, all right, but really? Seriously? Now, in this other poll, Iowa State trails Iowa in the poll. Well, Iowa State just hammered Iowa recently. Okay, it's like, is this a hoax? No, no, it's another poll. But we're going to stick with Intermat. All right, how about individual rankings? All right, number one, at 149, Mitchell Messenbrink. At 165, Levi Haynes. Ranked number one, let's see, hold on a second here. Luke Lilladol is second at 125. Rocco Welsh, fourth at 184. Aaron Nagao, who's hurt right now, is 7th at 133. Watch out for P.J. Duke with a shot. He's up to number 8 now at 157. Connor Mirasola, number 8 at 197. Watch out for Marcus Blaze. He's 10th at 133. Cole Mirasola now 11th. At heavyweight. Penn State will be getting more to plane. They are flying out to Wyoming and Laramie for a matchup on Saturday night. You'll have to check those polls. Three Penn State players on the All East Coast Region team for the American Volleyball Coaches Association. Kennedy Martin, no surprise, she made the team, set Penn State records. With kills, 634, and with points, it's 728. Jillian Grimes, no surprise, she's on that regional team with 441 digs. She was the Big Ten Libero of the Year honoree this year. And Maggie Mendelson on the team. She had 91 blocks, had a 363 hitting percentage. Interesting note about Maggie Mendelson. She's taken off the volleyball uniform and put on the basketball uniform. She didn't play last night, but she was at the game. And at some point, I'm assuming, big, tall Maggie, she's going to be getting in the action. So no rest for the – she's not weary. She's really sharp. Penn State women's lacrosse team has named its four captains for the upcoming season. Erica Ho, Kelly McKinney, Lauren Tinson, and a transfer from Syracuse, Julia Basciano. The Nittany Lions preparing for their first season under new head coach Kayla Traynor, who was previously at Syracuse with great success. She's going to be taking over the Penn State program. Some high hopes for Penn State women's lacrosse. All right, let's go to the pros. Oh, for goodness sakes. Oh, what am I ringing the bell for? The Pittsburgh Penguins were 1 second away from picking up a win against Anaheim last night. 1 second away. But Beckett Senecky scores a shorthanded goal with 1 second left to put that game into overtime. It went all the way to the shootout. Guess who won? Yes, Anaheim. Anthony Mantha, Tommy Novak, Noel Acciari had the Pittsburgh goals. They were 1 second away. Now, you get a point, right? Overtime, shootout, you get a point, but I believe the Penguins now have seven shutout losses now. It's like, ugh, if those were wins, where would this team be? Oh, man, crazy. Philadelphia Flyers, no trouble. 4-1 win over the San Jose Sharks yesterday. The Penguins and Flyers right now both have 35 points. That's interesting. They are tied with the New Jersey Devils for fourth in the Metropolitan Division. In baseball, if you're a Phillies fan, I guess you're really happy today. Phillies got an agreement with slugger Kyle Schwarber, and Kyle is going to the bank. 5 years, $150 million. Now, this says pending a physical. Come on, Kyle, you can pass a physical, right? It's interesting. The Pirates are not a big money team, all right, not by any stretch. They made an offer for Schwarber, which I remember my buddy, the Ironhead, he's the big Buccos fan. He was a bit shocked, like, seriously? The Pirates are going to somehow find money for Kyle Schwarber? They offered him $100 million, which is a lot of money. The Phillies went for $150 million bucks. Yikes. That's good for Kyle, buddy. Pass your physical, and you'll be going to the bank for many years to come. All right, great. MLB.com reporting, speaking of the Pirates, they're reporting the Pirates have an agreement with two-time All-Star reliever Gregory Soto. The deal reportedly just a one-year contract worth $7.75 million. Soto is a 30-year-old left-hander. This season, not great. 1-5 with a 4.18 ERA. At one point, he did play for my Baltimore Orioles last season, then also with the Mets. Now he's going to be a Pirate. All right. The Pirates will have the, by the way, they had the baseball draft lottery yesterday. The still somewhat woeful Chicago White Sox got the number one choice. The Pirates will have the number five choice after they did their little baseball lottery yesterday. All right. So that's it for sports. Maybe later on, we'll take a break here in a moment. I guess, I don't know if I'm amazed, if I'm entertained. This whole Notre Dame saga with not going to a bowl game and why they're not going and they hate the ACC now and all the, I mean, the Irish have been, for the most part, they've been raked over the coals the past couple of days after they announced their decision, you know, we're not in the college football playoff, fine, we're not going to play in any game. We're not playing in any game. Now, they would have gone, if I got this right, they would have gone to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. All right, they got passed over, again, for the playoff, and there's a lot of arguing there. If they had not decided to step out, they apparently would have gone to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And I believe they would have played BYU. Well, they're not going. Georgia Tech now is going to play BYU. The Pop-Tarts Bowl is actually, if you take a quick look at it, we'll take a break in a moment. If you take a quick look at it, Pop-Tarts Bowl usually has a good matchup, like two name teams, good teams, and so on. I mean, if you want to know about the Pop-Tarts Bowl, go find Matt Campbell, Penn State's new coach, because Iowa State was in this game last year. In fact, it was a pretty wild game. Iowa State beat Miami, I think it was 42-41. Now, it's the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And if you've heard me, you know, in this year and so on, you're a regular listener, I'm a bit of a marketing geek, all right? I like to see how businesses and companies do unique marketing angles to try to get attention for themselves and, you know, hopefully make some sales and so on. Now, the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I'm assuming everybody knows what a Pop-Tart is. And again, it's a little silly. It's a little goofy. Again, Iowa State won it last year. And in this particular case, the MVP of the game, which was Rocco Becht, the quarterback for Iowa State, who, by the way, is rumored to be heading this direction. That's not official yet. All right, we'll see what happens. So he was the MVP, and after the game's over, he gets to, he gets to choose among three, I guess call them life-sized Pop-Tarts. And there's three different flavors. I think the one he picked was cinnamon roll. And so the cinnamon roll Pop-Tart, that's a life size. He's dancing around. He's waving to the crowd. And he gets put in this gigantic toaster. Okay, there he goes. And everybody's cheering as the Pop-Tart falls into the toaster. And then through a slot or something comes this giant, like life-sized, totally baked, real Pop-Tart. In this case, it was cinnamon roll. And I saw a video clip online. I mean, here's Coach Campbell and Rocco Becton. They're taking like a big clunk of this giant Pop-Tart, and they're eating it. And I think the coach, threw Pop-Tart to the crowd or something like that. I mean, on the one hand, it's fun, you know. On the other hand, it's really silly, and maybe Notre Dame just isn't into silly, I guess. They didn't want to go to the Pop-Tarts Bowl, along with other reasons. Maybe we'll talk about that later on. I mean, the Irish are just, they got a black eye right now. This is not looking good for them. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Hey, folks, we got lots of things to talk about. Special event we'll talk about coming back from the break, special sports event. We'll check on some weather later next hour. And in between, yes, your friend Scott will be solving the nation's healthcare problem. Are you ready? Get ready. It's coming. Let's Talk. We'll come back right after this.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Thank you.
anybody still really do this anymore? Decking halls? I don't know. I mean, my wife is the queen of Christmas at my house. And the house is pretty decked, all right? All right, we're decked. We don't really deck halls. I don't know, maybe somebody does that, but let's move on. Let's talk here for a Wednesday morning show. Scott here again with you. Jeff will be back again tomorrow. Some open line time coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, I want to take a few minutes and talk with State College Athletic Director Lauren Crispell about a big game and big event tonight. Lauren, first off, good morning. Thanks for the time today.
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you, and thanks so much for making time to talk about a game that's very exciting and really very meaningful to all of us tonight.
Well, first off, the actual game is State College Girls and Altoona Girls, which is a big rivalry game right there. Although, second week of December, Lauren, seems too early. But what about the actual game tonight? It's going to be a good one.
God, I think you are right. There are many here, maybe myself included, that would probably love to see this game a little later in the schedule, but it's the way it shook out this year, so we'll have a big one right out of the gate. And as you mentioned, Altoona and State College, when you mention those two teams together in just about any sport, it goes back for decades in this community, and it always means a fun, hard-fought, intense competition. In particular, these two teams in girls basketball know each other quite well. They've been involved in tight contests for the last 3 to 4 years, including last year where the teams split the two regular season matchups, and then Altoona took the district title championship by a point. So this promises to be much like those other games. Altoona brings a ton of talent back. State College brings four returners back. We have three of our starters back this year. So I think tonight promises to be another exciting contest.
All right. Varsity at 7:30 at the North Gym. Now, also, Lauren, tonight, this is sort of a special. There's special things going on with this game. Let's talk about that, please.
It is. And, Scott, I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, part of what we love to do here in the hallways and in our school communities, try to make sure our student-athletes are connected to things bigger than themselves, whether it's programs, initiatives, and in this case, a wonderful fundraiser with Sideline Cancer. Tonight is our Sideline Cancer fundraiser night. Sideline Cancer has been a wonderful supporter for many years of cancer research at Harvard University, and more recently has taken on a bit of a basketball flavor here in our local community. For instance, a club and travel team in the area is named Sideline Cancer, and a lot of what they do is designed to get better on the court at basketball and also drive awareness and funds in the support of the fight against cancer. And that's exactly what we intend to do tonight, Scott. If you come to the game, there are a number of different ways to support and join the fight. You can purchase a Sideline Cancer T-shirt. We'll have a number of raffle baskets there and silent auction baskets, including a Penn State basketball package, a Vera Bradley basket. There's a Taste of State College basket with various restaurants represented. A basketful in Bullsburg has been incredibly supportive and donated a basket as well. So we're looking forward to a night tonight, Scott, that's full of great basketball and also bigger than basketball in many ways.
That sounds like a great, great item. So if you're a State High fan and you're available this evening, for goodness sakes, get over to the North Gym. Again, the varsity game at 7:30. Now, I mean, Lauren, you mentioned all the baskets and stuff. Do people do that like before the game, halftime? How would that work exactly?
That's a great question. So we actually have three games tonight. We play a ninth grade game at 4:30, a junior varsity game at 6, and then the varsity game at 7:30. And we'll probably open up tickets and baskets around 6 o'clock for fans who are in the building to start putting in for the silent auction and raffle baskets. And they can do that at any time during the game. We'll probably pull the winning numbers and winning tickets at the end of the third quarter and then announce the winners between the third and fourth quarter of the varsity game. So we'll give ample time for fans to participate and support in any way they can.
All right. So, again, especially, I mean, for anybody, but for State High fans, this is always a great game between these two schools, State College and Altoona. And then all that extra stuff for Sideline Cancer. I mean, this is a great event, folks. So if you can make it, Lauren said, JV is at 6. They have the junior, I guess, ninth grade game before that, then the varsity game after that, which should be somewhere around 7:30, and then all of the extra, festivities families and so on. Lauren, just kind of in general, right, for basketball, girls and boys, you know, what are the expectations? I mean, start with either one you like. What are the expectations for the teams this year?
Well, we'll start with our girls' basketball team since they're playing tonight. I would say, Scott, that this is probably one of the most athletic teams we've had here in many, many years. This team loves to get up and down the floor. They love to play in transition, love to get out in front on the break. We have a great senior point guard coming back this year, McKenna Whitehurst, two terrific junior twins in Sienna and Cherie Wilson, and some youth as well as a starter with Desiree Mobley, a sophomore, and she's joined by Allie Swager, who's a junior and a first-year starter. So this is a team that will get up and down the floor. Good contrast of styles tonight, by the way, because Altoona likes to slow you down and beat you in the half court, and they're very good at what they do, but good contrast of styles tonight. And on the boys' side, Scott, another good year anticipated. The boys came off a 56-31 win over Hempfield here on Monday night. So a really good first win for them. Brian Shawley is back as head coach and does an outstanding job with those guys. Just so fundamentally sound. And we've got some youth there mixed with some great senior leadership. We've got a senior in Mikey Powell, Scott, who's just he's that classic high school senior that does everything the right way, right? He's great in the classroom, great in the school community, terrifically sound on the court. And then he's joined by some real talent. Nick Carr is a rising star for us, as well as Micah James, who's a sophomore. So, again, the boys are fun style to watch. They'll knock down some threes. They'll hustle. I think they out-hustled Hempfield for the better part of those 32 minutes on Monday night. And again, we're looking forward to seeing a great year from them as well. And, by the way, the boys are here Friday night, Scott. They take on Harrisburg in their mid-Penn home opener on Friday night. Same schedule of 4:36 and 7:30 as well. So a lot of basketball ahead of us this year, and looking forward to seeing some great action in the North Gym.
Lauren, I'm just curious, all right? You're athletic director, so you would know this. I'm from Penns Valley, all right? Go Rams. And they have, you know, their Laurel Highlands Conference. I mean, they have some long road trips. But State High in the mid-Penn, if anything, Altoona's the, quote, local game, you know, which is crazy because you got to go all the way down to the next county, I-99, to get to Altoona. For some of these road trips that your teams have to take, all right, let's go with basketball. I don't know, like York County teams or something like that or whatever. What time do kids have to leave school to go to some of these road trips? Is it like noon? I mean, what time do they have to get going?
Scott, it's a really big part of what we do with our winter sports during these months, because you're exactly right. These kids are on buses for long times to get to places like Carlisle and Chambersburg, which by the time you get out of school, by the time you load the bus up, you're probably talking 2 hours and change to get there. And I have to say that I often think of us as the Nebraska of the Mid-Penn Conference, right? I mean, we're basically off to everybody's west except for Altoona, and we have to travel quite a distance. And our kids and coaches do a wonderful job, Scott, of planning ahead, right? We get terrific support from our booster clubs to make sure that they're fed for these trips. But our kids themselves do a great job of making sure they're prepared academically when they get on that bus, because they often miss, in some cases, Scott, the same class on a Tuesday and Thursday. If they're leaving for two straight road games and have to leave at, as you said, 1 o'clock or 1:30, they may miss two course meetings in the same week. And I think our kids and teachers do a wonderful job of being aware of the schedule, planning ahead, making sure that they've got work turned in ahead of time or turned in immediately upon return. But it is a big part of what we do as far as making sure they're prepared, trying to get them back at reasonable times. You know, if we can schedule games a little bit earlier on the road in the Mid-Penn, we try to do so whenever possible, and just try to mitigate the late nights for them. Because in the winters, you know, getting back here at 11:30 and then trying to be in school the next morning by 8 o'clock, that's a challenge. It would have been for me when I was 15 to 18, and I'm sure it still is for the kiddos today, but they do a wonderful job with it.
I'm just sitting here thinking, all right, I used to be good with geography. If the team has a game at Chambersburg, what route do they take to get there? Do you know off the top of your head?
Great question. I've made the mistake one time, Scott, of taking the wrong route, and I'll never do it again going to Chambersburg. You can go down by Burnt Cabins if you go through Pine Grove Mills and head down that way, and you've got a lot of hairpin turns there,
yeah.
Climbing some mountains, and then all of a sudden you come out into beautiful Chambersburg, and you're right there. A lot of times you can also just go down the standard way through Harrisburg, and that's what I prefer because you're on the highway for most of that drive. But, boy, I made the mistake after a football game early in my time here, Scott, of coming back through the Burnt Cabins late at night on a Friday night, and that was an interesting drive home. We'll just leave it at that.
No, that's bad, Lauren, really bad. So, in other words, you got to go down to Harrisburg, what, pick up 81 and take it down to Chambersburg?
Yep. Okay. Exactly, yeah. That's probably the best way, in my opinion.
I mean, the old line, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Burnt Cabins isn't exactly a straight line, but, oh, my gosh, all the way down to Harrisburg and then all the way down, that's insane. That's crazy. Does anybody ever complain about that? Like, why? I mean, you guys are kind of stuck. You're the big school in the middle of the state. All right, you got Altoona sort of over here, and then nothing. All right, that I've always wondered about. You know, that must be extremely difficult to plan for and deal with.
It can be a challenge. You know, we have a wonderful transportation department. I think it starts there, to be quite honest, that opens the door to even making it possible for us to consider trips like that and of that length. But it is a challenge, and I think our kids in particular, and Altoona's as well, you know, our two schools and our kids probably work through different challenges than most of the mid-Penn, because all of those schools are within about 15 to 30 minutes of each other in most cases. And so a late night for them is getting back at 9 o'clock. A late night for our kids is rolling back into town at 11:30. So we really try to do a good job of monitoring the schedule. If we've got two, you know, lengthy trips on the same week or within a couple days of each other, Scott, we try to make sure we're not overloading them with non-conference games the next day. Now, this week in particular, Scott, is unique for our boys. It's a four-game week. They played Hempfield on Monday. They're traveling to Altoona tonight. We host Harrisburg on Friday. And then those boys will get on a bus at around 9 o'clock on Saturday and head to Erie for a non-conference game against McDowell. We try not to have too many weeks look like that. But Brian does a really good job of monitoring the guys, getting them off their feet, making sure they have time not only to rest but also attend to academic responsibilities. And like I said, we try not to repeat too many weeks like this because this is a lot for them in the span of 8 days.
Is there such a thing as frequent driver miles? I mean, Lauren, you could get a free vacation or something from that. Holy smokes.
We could. I'm going to have to give Fullington a call about that because I think that's a great idea, Scott, because we would be at the top of their rewards program. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Again, our transportation department, Van Slogger, heads that up and just does a masterful job making sure our teams have what they need to get where they need and to do so with some level of comfort. And I'll be honest, being in the shadow of Penn State can make that tough. On given football weekends, it's really hard to find a bus, and it's really challenging to get teams into or out of town. But that's just a product of living a mile down the road from a great university like Penn State. So, again, a lot of the credit goes to Van Slogger and the administration here for always making sure there are options at our disposal to get teams where they need to go, when they need to be there, and, again, with some level of comfort for them.
Well, Lauren, good luck with the game tonight. Hope a lot of folks turn out for the auction, raffle, and so on. And appreciate the time this morning. Thank you.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much for the time. You and Ironhead do an awesome job. Love having you guys on the air in this community, and always appreciate all the support you give so many local teams and schools.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Scott. Take care.
All right. That's Lauren Crispell, athletic director for State College High School. Four games in a day, or four games in a week. And the fourth one's an Erie. Oh, my Lord. I mean, we need frequent driver miles, all right? What's in your wallet? There should be a credit card something for that, for goodness sakes. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll have some open line time. Yes, we're going to solve. I'm going to help the Republicans get out of the pickle they're in right now, all right, involving health care. Somehow you don't follow news. You're not familiar with that. We're going to solve the country's problems with a personal example. We're going to detail why we got to do something here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Fox State College.
How can you not just sort of dance around to this song?
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Come on, everybody does, right?
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
I don't speak Spanish, but I'm still dancing.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Very popular tune this time of year. Let's talk here for a Wednesday morning. Scott with you again. The Ironhead Jeff Byers out for another day. Personal thing, all right? Something has to be taken care of. He'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, again, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, is going to join us in about a half an hour, and maybe we'll explain where's the snow. Right? We've been hearing that for the last couple of days. Going to be a snowy morning. Watch the morning commute. And at least where we're sitting here, it's like, okay, yeah. So I'm not blaming Joe. Do not misunderstand. No, 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 no. But, again, more west and north of us, they're getting some snow. And I guess the closer you get to Erie, they're probably getting even more. So I guess the sun's trying to pop through here at our studio right now. We will count ourselves as fortunate. At least I would. Open line time in the meantime, 814-954-7266. If you'd like to chime in on what I'm going to cover or you got something else, that's perfectly fine. All right, we've had all this time recently talking about sports, Penn State football coach, who's going where, you know, all that stuff, which, you know, a lot of folks around here, that's important. Let's move over to, politics. Yeah, we'd like to cover that from time to time. In particular, all right, last night, Now, President Donald Trump, there he was. He was over in the Poconos yesterday. No surprise, big crowd at a casino, and so on. Now, it's interesting. We mentioned this just very briefly yesterday. Originally, his event, his speech, was supposed to be at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. And I made the comment yesterday, okay, 6 p.m. means it's actually going to be more like 7 p.m., and sure enough, it was about, I don't know, maybe 5 after 7 when he finally walks out on the stage last night. I don't know, maybe it's security or whatever. Trump is seemingly late for everything. Maybe blame it on security, you know, Secret Service and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm watching a little news last night. I'm like, okay, do I want to hang around for this? When it got to 7 o'clock, I thought, not really. And I switched over to the Lady Lion basketball game. I thought, I'd much rather watch this, okay? Because, again, when you've seen a Trump speech, you know what's coming with a Trump speech, all right? He's going to make promises. He's going to disparage his opponents. He's going to do some name-calling, which the crowds that go to these events, of course, just eat this up. Some of you just eat this up. You love this stuff. As you can tell by my tone of voice, I don't. All right, I'm not for that. The name-calling gig with him, I've never understood or liked. I know why he does it. It's like, put down your opponents, really put them down, and people just cheer and howl and applaud. And okay, not my speed. But I did, you know, they had some clips of where this event was last night. And all over the room, big signs yesterday. Lower prices, bigger paychecks. Okay, I'll sort of ring the bell. If we could actually get those, that would be great, right? Lower prices, bigger paychecks. All right, how are you going to get there? All right, either one of those. How are you going to get there? Now, Trump and company have been trying to pitch this idea that things are better than what they seem. Okay. Now, for those of you that have been to a grocery store lately, you know that's not true. Grocery store, and maybe in some other places, okay? And it's funny, I recall Biden and friends trying this same strategy a couple years ago. Remember that? Oh, things are actually much better than what you seem after 9% inflation and everything, whoop, going way up. Price for energy, boop, up. Yeah, so now Trump and friends are trying this same, I call it a same basic strategy. Oh, no, it's actually better than what you think. Okay, if you say so. Now, again, lower prices. And at one point last night, apparently the president mentions the price of eggs. Now, I remember that. We all remember that, right? Back earlier this year, at one point, a dozen eggs was $8 a dozen, at least here. And foolishly, your friend Scott here actually bought a dozen eggs for $8. Now, my wife and I had some recipes. We wanted to cook some things and eat some eggs. $8 for a dozen of eggs. Yeah! Now that price, of course, has come way down. A week or two ago, I bought a dozen eggs for actually just a shade under $2 a dozen. I was in a store this week, a different store, and their price was like around $2.50. for like regular large eggs. Okay, that's a lot more normal. Now, did Donald Trump and company do something to lower that? Probably not. All right, if we had guests on this months ago, avian flu. This whole idea that if you have a flock of chickens and somehow one chicken in the flock tests positive for avian flu, boom, you take them all out. Well, when you do that, and these are egg-laying hens, well, guess what? You have a shortage. And when you have a shortage, what happens? The price goes up, or way up. And a lot of folks, and I was one of those, was questioning, is this really the right strategy to be using? Like, we're going to take out the whole flock because one or two chickens have this flu? Well, now, maybe, all right, maybe. Trump and company take over this year, new people in charge of the agriculture department. Maybe the way that situation was being handled has changed, and now we don't have the avian flu problem. I won't say we don't have it anymore. It's not nearly as bad as it was. And perhaps it was a change of strategy, like, okay, let's not totally wipe out entire flocks. Let's find some other way to deal with the problem. The Biden and company group, it was wipe out flocks. And whoop, up goes the price of eggs ridiculously. Well, maybe Trump can hang his hat on, okay, we changed the way we handle this situation, and because of that, the price is now down to either $2 or $2.50. Okay, all right, that's fine. Apparently he mentioned the big, beautiful bill last night. The no tax on tips. Now, that's fine if you work at a restaurant or something and get tips. Well, that's only a small number of people. I believe, right? There's supposed to be no tax on Social Security benefits. Okay, if you're like over the age of 65 and thereabouts, okay, that's a good thing for you. What about all these other people, which would be the majority of the country? Okay. So again, you can make claims, lower prices, bigger paychecks. Lowering prices is going to be tough. Because again, when we had that 9% inflation spike a couple years ago, whoop, everything went up. Now, inflation since then has come down under 3%. But when those prices go up for all sorts of things, they're going to stay up. They're not going to, you know. Otherwise, then some folks would call that deflation, and that's supposed to be a bad thing. Oh, my God. So the idea is some of these higher prices may stay higher. And no, not necessarily because of Trump and tariffs. Because they were higher or going higher a year ago. They were, whoop, on the way up. Now, how to get those to come down, that's a challenge. That's a real challenge. Now, the bigger paychecks, I mean, come on, who out there wouldn't like a bigger paycheck? All right, hello, raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any hands, people that don't want bigger paychecks. Question is, all right, how do you get there? How do you do that? Especially when it comes to most of us, right, private business. How do we get, you know, your boss or your company or whatever, your business, to pay you more money? Well, good luck with that. Because they're already dealing with other higher costs for this and this and this and this and that and so on. So you can say, bigger paychecks. Okay, that's great. How are you going to get there? There's the question. Now, one thing that Trump and company have done, I'll give them credit on this one. And when you think about this, the cost of energy, if that's oil, gas, natural gas, some other things like that, if we find ways to lower the costs for energy, that is going to automatically lower a lot of other costs. And you might think, well, how does that work? Easy. Think about it. You have products. You need to get your products to market, get your products to a store. How do they get there? On a truck? On some other thing? Well, how much does it cost the truck to go from point A to point B, and then to point C, and then point D? If fuel is really expensive, guess what? That gets tacked on to the price of the stuff in the truck. Well, if we can lower the price of energy, which we are doing, then that should help to lower, not a lot, but at least a little, some various prices for this, that, and the other thing. Now, I'll give Trump and company credit on that one, because Biden and company went the other direction. Remember, electric vehicles, that's the future. Yeah, oil, we want to get rid of oil. Let's make it expensive. Let's do everything we can to get in the way of stopping oil and gas production and so on. Come on, you can't deny that. Biden and friends, they were all for that. Trump comes in with his bunch, and okay, we're going to do the opposite. Ooh, boom. So that's a move that I will give Trump credit on and friends. And now, again, folks, I don't know why this is for folks in Center County who are listening, all right, why in a lot of places gas in this town is still $3.35 or thereabouts, when I can literally, I think, go not that far away and I can find gas stations in Pennsylvania doing less than $3 for a gallon of gas. You get out of Harrisburg, there's a bunch of places down there where it's $2.90, $2.85 for a gallon of gas. You come up here and you're like, what? How much? Folks, I don't know, but I'd like to know. I mean, certain convenience stores charge so much here. If I go to the next county or another place, lower price. Same convenience store. I don't know if there's an intrepid reporter listening. I just gave you a story angle. Dig into why the price for gasoline, especially in the greater State College area, why is it so high? Now, I've seen $3.19. I just gassed up yesterday. All right, saw $3.19 at a couple of places. All right, okay, good. But there's still other folks not that far from here. They're charging under $3 for a gallon of gas. So what's the deal? So intrepid reporter, do a little digging. Why is gasoline so expensive in the greater State College area compared to other nearby areas? right, there's a story there. I'd like to know what it is. On the Democrat side, all right, again, Scott here, I'm Republican, all right? For my Democrat friends, or if you're a Democrat listener, folks, seriously, and I'm being sincere with this, all right, you've got to get rid of Chuck Schumer as your spokesperson in Washington. You got to find somebody new. Now, I know he's the Senate minority leader. Well, for how much longer? There have been a lot of grumbling, a lot of complaints this year, this fall. And seemingly, if I'm watching a news show, all right, Trump and friends announce this, so they're going to do that. And here comes old Chuck Schumer, and whoever writes his material, he doesn't. Come on. Whoever his speechwriter is, maybe he just needs a new speechwriter. Because Schumer at times tries to be funny, tries to be, I don't know, witty. It doesn't work. it doesn't work. Or it doesn't work anymore. And so if you're a Democrat, it's like, okay, who else could we get to be a spokesperson who's a bit more, I don't know, well-spoken? And frankly, yeah, maybe not so old. Just a thought out there. Because I'm watching the news last night. Here comes Schumer. I'm like, okay, what quip is he going to make this time? And sure enough, there he is, I guess, on the Senate floor or hallway, wherever he was. And he's trying to make some quips. You know, he's trying to be witty. I'm like, this isn't working anymore. All right, the folks on the left, you need to find somebody different. Now, not AOC or somebody out on the edge. All right, no, okay? Not a firebrand, not Bernie, the independent, not him. All right, is he as old as Schumer? Yeah, they're both up there, aren't they? Somebody, God forbid, somebody in the middle. Yes, there are still, actually, in the real world, there are a lot of Democrats who are in the middle, not out on the edge. I've got to believe there's some elected Democrat officials in D.C. that are more to the middle. Those people, all right, if it's a guy, gal, whoever it is, go for that person. If you want to try to attract more attention with the American public at large, Schumer, nope. AOC, sorry, nope. Somebody more in the middle. I'm just not exactly sure who that person is. All right, we're talking a national level here. I'm not sure who that person is. But if you're a Democrat and you're looking ahead to the midterms next year, you got to find somebody. All right? Jasmine Crockett is running for Senate in Texas. I read one, I forget who made this blurb, she's going to get crushed. I think she's going to get crushed. All right? She's one of those folks way out on the edge, and that doesn't normally fly in Texas. But there she is. She's running for Senate against John Cornyn, I believe. Good luck with that. No, not her. Somebody in the middle. There's got to be somebody. Now, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. I'm going to finally talk about health care here. It's got to be somebody. Just got to find that person. Trying to help. Trying to solve the country's problems. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Get up and get going with
98.7 The Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hall.
How do you not dance to this tune?
This will go home where you can see every couple tries to stop.
Brenda Lee. Gotta like the classics. I don't know. I don't listen to today's. This is Scott. I don't listen to today's music because more often than not, it's got the boom, boom, boom beat, and you know, hip hop and rap and all this. Not my gig. I'm assuming those artists do Christmas songs. Would I assume that correctly? You never hear from them. All right, it's all the classics. All right, like Brenda Lee. How old is that song? Boy, that's got some age on it. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Somebody might be able to fill me in here. Again, we're going to talk weather here in about 15 minutes with our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Where'd the snow go? That's what we're going to ask. All right, get ready for that. Let's take a quick call here. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Scott. I realize who that was, but if that's not a Wayne Newton double, I don't know what Brenda Lee is. Every time I hear that song, I think, that's Wayne Newton.
No, that's Brenda Lee, but anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Do you have any idea? I don't know what day or time the Wyoming match is. Do you know that?
Oh, you would ask the wrong guy.
Yeah, I understand.
See,
now, I think it's Friday night.
No, it's Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Now, I'm thinking Eastern time, Mountain time. That's where I get confused. I'm going to guess 8 o'clock Eastern time.
Which would be
6 o'clock or something Wyoming time.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, I'll find our buddy on there somewhere. I don't know why. That's the first thing that pops into my head when I hear Brenda Lee say that. I swear to God, that's Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton. And how many people in the audience are like, who's Wayne Newton? Really?
Yeah. Well, how many people say, who's Brenda Lee?
Who's Brenda Lee? Well, until that song right there, it's like nobody knows who Brenda Lee is. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
That's all the info I needed. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. Folks, they have this thing called the Internet. You can do a web search. Who's Brenda Lee? Who's Wayne Newton? Wayne Newton used to be a big deal. He's still with us, I think. I'm not sure. All right, let's see. I've got about 8 minutes to solve the country's problems. All right, this could be tough. I mentioned earlier this week, I'll get started here. I may have to finish tomorrow because we're going to talk with Joe and do some weather stuff a little bit later on. Healthcare is now the Republicans' problem. It's not the Democrats' problem. Oh, Trump, yeah, they point over there. Oh, it's all they're doing. Now, they set the table. Okay, yes. Obamacare, don't get me started. I never was a fan of that. The Affordable Care Act, one of the worst-named laws in American history, and it's all about propping things up with your tax dollars. That's it. No solutions. Nothing. Did absolutely nothing to lower the price of health care. Made it worse, and now we're seeing it. Because the potential end of the subsidies that so many, I mean, tens of millions of people get to afford their health insurance, while health care costs, whoop, have been just going up to the moon. By throwing more money on the table, the government said to the healthcare industry, sure, go ahead and charge whatever you want. Boof. We'll be there with backup money. Don't worry, go ahead. I mean, that's pretty much it, isn't it? And now, boom, here we are in the situation which the Republicans have now inherited. Now, this is important because in the next week, maybe 2 weeks, some decision's going to have to be made about these subsidies. Something's got to give. And again, the Republicans are kind of over a barrel, if you will. A lot of them want to end Obamacare. I'll be honest, I'd like to end Obamacare. But the problem is, okay, we do that, then what? There is no real then what. Yes, there's a couple of things floating around out there. Rand Paul has a plan. Some other senators have a plan. And they're all temporary. They're all temporary things that in the long run, nothing's going to get lowered. It's going to continue. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Unaffordable. What's unaffordable mean? All right, as quickly as I can, I'm going to go over, this is a personal situation. As I go over this, if you've had a doctor appointment recently or some type of medical procedure recently, I'm going to go over this real fast, and you're all going to nod your heads like, yep, that sounds familiar. So this fall, I've had a problem with my knee. I don't know why. Age, maybe that's what it is. And I had a checkup in August with my doctor. Went fine. But I told him, hey, my knee's really starting to hurt. And he said, well, you need to see an orthopedic person. Okay. And that's when the problem started. Now, I'm not going to mention my health provider. I don't want to go down that road. Because this would probably happen with any health provider right now. First, I make an appointment, orthopedic. Okay, great. Then my health provider contacts me. Well, sorry, something's changed. You need to make a new appointment. Oh, great. Okay, how soon? Well, 5 weeks. I'm like, 5 weeks? So in those 5 weeks, my knee was hurting. I mean, I was literally limping at times. It hurt. Run, I couldn't run three steps without pulling up. They're like, ugh. So I finally have an appointment in mid-October, and it went fine. By the way, the people I've dealt with, great, super, stupendous, love them. This is not a people problem. This is another problem, okay? So I have an appointment in mid-October. I've never been to an orthopedic person. It's the first time ever. And so the appointment was about, it was only about a half an hour total, really. I met the orthopedic, the PA that I was dealing with, and she says, all right, we should get an x-ray. And I said, all right, that's kind of what I was expecting. Let's see if there's a problem in there. So I'm taken to a nearby room. The x-ray procedure at best was 5 minutes. And, you know, with the today's technology, I was told, okay, sir, hold your knee this way, meep, okay, hold it this way, meep, about 5 minutes, and I was done. And I went back to my waiting room. And everything's digital now. In the old days, you'd have to wait, right, to develop, x-rays and so on. Now, it's like instantaneous. There it is. So the PA comes in with her gadget. All right, let's take a look at this. We look at my knee. Sorry, sir, your knee looks great. Everything nice and smooth, no edges, no bone spurs. I thought maybe I had a bone spur. Nope, everything looks good. Probably it's a problem with your meniscus, which is that kind of, call it spongy area between the main bones of your leg. And so from a website, she prints out a bunch of rehab exercises, and she says, okay, sir, I want you to start doing these exercises regularly. We're going to make an appointment for 5 weeks from now. We're going to see where you are. I said, okay. So I took the exercises and sort of semi-limped my way out of the doctor's office and went home. Now, I had a copay. Everybody knows what that is. But, of course, that wasn't the bill. Well, once again, when I walked in, did anybody tell me how much this is going to cost? No. No idea. Until I got a statement. Here it is. I've had this for over 2 weeks. And, folks, when you get these statements for something, you really need to look them over. I think a lot of people don't do that. They just, oh, my insurance paid it. Okay, good, I'm done. No, 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 no. You need to look it over. And so I looked mine over, and I'm like, are you kidding? So this is for this one appointment in mid-October. Again, about a half an hour and an X-ray. That's it. Didn't give me anything except exercises that were printed off of a website. By the way, they worked. Really good exercises. I appreciated that. The total bill from my provider for what I just described, a half an hour and an X-ray, the total original bill, I guess, $1,870 for maybe a half an hour and an X-ray. I saw that. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yo, really? So there's problem number one. All right, now here's problem number two. Now, my insurance company says, okay, here's what we paid to your provider. And they accepted as payment in full. Okay, great. That's wonderful. So my health, my insurance provider paid $810. And that paid the bill in full. Now, folks, think about this. The original bill was $1,870. They accepted $810 as full payment. Okay. Now, the obvious questions start to pop up there. All right. The obvious questions start to pop. Why didn't the health provider just charge $810? Where did $1,870 come from? That's over $1,000 more. Where the what? Folks, do we do this with any other items out there? No. No. First off, from any other item out there, we would know how much it costs before we actually do it or buy it or go there and so on. I mean, even if you go to a restaurant, they give you a menu, and the prices for the various entrees are on the menu. You can do the basic math in your head and figure out, okay, this is how much this meal is going to cost me tonight. Okay, I'll have the steak or something like that. My wife will order chicken, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I can figure that out. We got it. All right, that's not how this worked. And so this whole health care, health insurance, this is a racket. And it's now unaffordable. A half an hour and one X-ray, $1,870. Now, I had a follow-up appointment a couple of weeks ago. I can't wait to get the statement on this one. Now, at that appointment, I was there even less time. It was pretty much, okay, how you doing? All right, we're going to give you a steroid shot, which will help with the pain for several months, and then you keep rehabbing, and hopefully come spring, you're going to be just fine. I'm like, great. So in my follow-up appointment, I got a steroid shot in my knee. That's it. So it was about 15 minutes and a steroid shot. I can't wait to see what the cost for that's going to be. Folks, if we're going to solve health care in this country, we've got to totally change it. Republicans are stuck right now. What they need to do, unfortunately, they need to renew the subsidies, like start them up again for maybe, I say, a two-year period, because it's going to take 2 years to do this, like totally change how we do and charge and bill health care in this country. It's going to take 2 years. So in that interim, unfortunately, we're going to need the subsidies. But then, now, the question is, will any politicians have the courage to do that? The plans I've heard just like this week, I'm like, no, that's not it. No, no, that's not a change. It's just more of the same. We got to take a break. Maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday, I'll bring this up again. And if you want to chime in with any, I know some of you have interesting stories out there from this. I know you do. Maybe together we can push some people in the right direction. Right now we'll say it's Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break. What's up with the weather this morning? All right, we're going to find out with our friend Joe Bastardi coming up right after this.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now, that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
Well, that's true.
Since we've no place to go,
watch it.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Where it's supposed to be. All right, let's introduce our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com. Joe, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was listening to your spiel before. Boy, that's happening. That's happening to me and my wife big time right now.
The healthcare stuff. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And, you know, I always look at it, well, the good Lord above is trying to teach me to be patient and, you know, think about, you know, the things I'm supposed to do as a husband. And but it's not only the amount of money, which is it's mind-boggling that the insurance I have won't pay for, somehow it's not paying for diagnostic exams. And we were forced into the government marketplace, mm-hmm. which, right? But the other thing is just the torture of being on the phone is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's really crazy, you know. And to be blunt about it, folks, the left has Trump-proofed America. No matter what Trump does. We really are too far gone with the health care, the $36 trillion, and he's a bump in the road to what their plans are. And I hate to talk like that, but you have to evaluate this. When Trump is still getting blamed for what, you know, whatever, you know, woke people that were running the White House when Biden was in there, he's getting blamed. It's like it's partly the fault of us. If you think you can turn something around instantly, now he's set the table to turn it around. But no matter what he does, I mean, you know, the Republicans are losing elections left and right. And once the left takes back over again, that's it. The pendulum is going the other way, and you're going to socialized medicine. The climate situation, you know, I got guys on my side of the issue. Yay, we won! No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because the zealots on the other side will simply wait And as soon as the pendulum goes the other way, it's coming back. It's coming back full force. I can take a look at it. And, hey, you know, that's why you have to believe in something bigger than this world, because it's a flawed world. Anyway, the cold, now look, this cold, it should be no surprise to listeners of the Fox from, I don't know how long they said it was going to be cold from Thanksgiving to Christmas this year. It does look like it's going to try to warm up later next week, perhaps into Christmas week, looking down the road. But for the next 7 to 10 days, this is just one shot of Arctic air after another coming at us. The temperature's averaging 8 to 12 below normal. The Allegheny Blade is working its magic right now. It's funny, I got a note from one of my ministers. It canceled the prayer breakfast this morning at 6 a.m. He said it's going to start snowing by 5. And I said, no, it's not. on a west southwest, he doesn't know, but on a west southwest wind, and my buddy who's on the other station, Joe Lumberg, I mean, we're really, really close friends. We call it the Allegheny Blade, where if you've got a west southwest wind, it just chops the snow apart. I mean, if you go out 50 miles west of here, there's a blizzard going on right now, but it has a tough time getting over the mountains. So all we'll get is maybe a coating. Maybe a half inch of snow, probably more in Park Forest than over here in Bowlesburg. Then we get some snow squalls late tonight into tomorrow, and the chance for another 2-3 inch snow storm comes on Sunday, and then it gets very, very cold after that for a few days, and then later next week it tries to warm up.
All right. Yeah, yesterday it was 1 degree. Now,
at your house.
Was that a record? I mean, I'm trying to think of cold in December.
It wasn't one in State College. It was one at your place outside of town.
Okay.
Because the records are in the single digits, but what happens is you have snow on the ground. You have some snow on the ground in your front yard?
Not much. A little.
But there's enough snow on the ground now, so if you get a clear, calm night, well, if you get a clear, calm night anyway, it's going to be cold. It's going to be very cold in outlying areas compared to State College. And I get into arguments with people at State College. Oh, look, our temperatures are coming up. It's global warming. I go, well, we have our thermometer outside the Walker Building, and it's surrounded by buildings. It wasn't surrounded by buildings back in the 1970s. It was open toward the golf course. You can't get a record low at University Park, not the airport, but probably not the airport either. You can't get a record low anymore unless the wind is blowing very, very hard, because those nights that we used to have record lows, the wind would be calm and the cold air would come in off the golf course. And now it can't get in because you have the Ponte Vecchio. It crosses 322 or whatever they call the IT building, and you've got buildings all around there. Mm-hmm. But if you live in the outlying areas, you certainly get much colder. That's why the Barrens is so famous for its cold. I mean, I was out there one night, October 1974, my freshman year, and it was 6 degrees above zero in the Barrens in October night. You know, it was about 33 in town, right? So those outlying areas can get really, really cold.
Okay. Now, Joe, you've talked about this before. If it were up to you, where should the official thermometer be? Where should it be?
Well, they should move it out back toward the golf course. And, you know, someplace where it's got at least 100 to 200 yards of non-exposure to buildings and things like that. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I mapped that golf course back in 76 for low temperatures on a calm night, and it's amazing. We used to call it Heartbreak Hill when we wrestled the hill we had to run up, but the base of that hill down there, I guess it was a 13th hole, it would be 30 degrees colder down there on a calm night than what it was at the weather station.
Ooh.
Because of so what's happened is, you know, they've moved the site so much that you've got to really keep your upgrade of thermometers Yeah, it's. I took instrumentation at Penn State. My dad was. My dad worked in research at Atlantic City, and he was involved in the development of what they call a Mesonet system. And the amount of upgrade you have to do on thermometers constantly, every month, make sure you're coordinating them, make sure that the exposure is the same. And so the increase in temperatures in State College are more at night than they are during the day, and that's a sign of the urban heat island effect. And certainly we are really building up around here from where we were in the 70s and 80s.
Interesting. And all, we just keep building more buildings, so that disparity is just going to continue, I guess.
Yeah. Most of the warming, folks, has occurred. Most of the warming is occurring at night. That's partly because of increased water vapor. It's occurring in the coldest, driest areas and the urban heat islands. You see, what's happened is we've got thermometers in places that are now built up, but we haven't put any compensating thermometers in areas that aren't built up. So the sample that you're going to get is naturally going to be warmer. And when the old Soviet Union fell, about one-sixth of the thermometers on the planet were taken offline because they decided, well, we don't have the money to have these weather stations out in the middle of nowhere. So the entire area of Siberia no longer was being factored in as far as actual temperatures go. Now it's done with satellites and all that stuff. So there's a whole bunch of different things that go on. It's really a fascinating subject. Instrumentation was a brutal course. That was a course nobody wanted to take, and I got stuck in it in my last term here at Penn State. I was wrestling and taking instrumentation at the same time, and it was like a constant beatdown. Two or three all-nighters a week. We had to design and build the instruments. And I was like, wait a minute. Why can't I just go take the temperature with this thermometer? No, you have to capacitors. It was all physics and electronics. And stuff I know very little about.
All right, we got about a minute. Now, you touched on this a little bit ago. We're 2 weeks to Christmas, 3 weeks to New Year's. What do you think for the next two or three weeks? What's going to happen here?
Well, I do think that we're going to be cold till around the 20th, but we're probably going to warm up. And there's going to be a lot of fighting going on across the country. In our part of the country, between what's going to be very, very warm conditions down over the south and just a mass of Arctic air to the north of us. So it's been from western Canada toward New England. And what I think happens is after that period, the dam's going to burst and the cold's going to overwhelm the country after Christmas and into January again. So this, believe it or not, you can trace the warm-up that's coming to what's going on over the Indian Ocean right now. Whenever you see a lot of thunderstorms in the Indian Ocean, the U.S. usually warms up 10 to 15 days later. That's going to happen. But those are going to collapse, and then I think the cold air comes back after Christmas and on into the New Year. So the next 10 days or so, boy, I'll tell you what, it's bundle up time. Your electric bill is going to go, your heating bill is going to go through the roof with this pattern.
Oh, boy. Okay, folks, you have been warned.
Yeah, so try to stay warm and try to stay healthy because obviously the prices are going up.
All right. Well, Joe, what should we do with our beautiful sunshiny weather this morning?
We should enjoy the weather. It's the only weather we got.
All right. Joe Bastardi. Joe, thank you very much as always. Folks, maybe some snow squalls later. Be careful. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend.